Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. I hear you've got new puppies. My wife has puppy envy. The pressure is on. Hi, guys. Good to have you with us. This is the third and last in the series for the beginning of the year on the verse for the year. So what we're doing today is we're looking at a model of community that Kate and I have picked. I'm just going to close the door. Have picked up during the week. 2 weeks ago, we had a conference with an organisation in Nottingham, who was speaking from experience about building gospel community. So we'll be looking at that today and how that fits in with us at St. Mary's. So I'll just recap a little bit, or at Crawley Anglican, I'll just recap a little bit on where we've been. So we looked at John 15, as the Father loved me, as the Father loved me. That's the basis for all of this, the covenant relationship, all of us. A love, dearly love, we don't know how much, by the Father. Just this week, the staff sent through, we're all on social media together, and Kate sent this through actually. She was talking about how we are beloved of the Father, beloved of God. Many of us struggle with the understanding of that because the intimacy of that, but we are, each of us are beloved by this God who we worship, which is a phenomenal thought. So it moves even on further from the Father image to the beloved image. We are the bride of Christ. A mind-boggling idea, if we can get our head around it. But this is a similar basis for that. As the Father loved me, says Jesus, so I have loved you. So remain in my love. As Alan was reading this morning, if you keep my commands and remain, dwell, simply be present in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain and simply be present in his love. And then we focused on the in, the relationship with one another. Jesus said further on in that passage, I've told you this so that your joy may be complete, and my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. A very, very high bar indeed, but one that we aspire to as a church. Today, we are looking at how we look out into the community from that basis of love, from the Father through us into the wider community. So it's the God's love for the community that we are channeling as a church. Okay, so that is how that works. So this, if you can bring this up, James, can we bring up the PowerPoint? If we can get that on there, I think we're going to have to slide it across. This is a Beeston, in Beeston, Nottingham, this model, and it's from Hope Church. It was a Christian charity working with local churches in the community to serve those in need in neighbourhoods around Nottingham, and it's grown. So it's ecumenical, which means it's not a particular denomination, but it's all denominations of the church. So there's a blessing in that. The place they run it from is a place called Hope House in Beeston, and it's become a one-stop community support centre and works in partnership with many other local agencies to provide a place of trust and transformation for local people. It supports things like the food banks around here, and that's a similarity we have here. I'll talk about that in a little bit of time. We've got a relationship with the food bank here in Crawley. So it's a place for dealing and helping people out of crisis and directing them to life-changing support. And it's growing in Nottingham, the model. Have we got it there, James? Okay. Now, the reason I like this is because there's two reasons. It's very simple. Even I can get it. And the other thing is it's gospel-centered. So if you just slide it across onto the big screen. There it is. There. Oh, there we go. Oh, it's coming. And if you click on the top one, James, and lift it up, and then somehow it'll fill the screen if you can click on that. Yeah, there we go. Well done. Thanks, James. Sorry about that. Okay, so these are community principles based on the Lord's Prayer. If you look, there's the gospel in the middle. Okay, the cross is at the center of this. Now, I need a volunteer who can come up and read the Lord's Prayer for us. Who'd like to do that? It's written out here. It's even highlighted. Yeah, come on, Adrian. Come on, do that. And you can read it into this microphone here. And at certain stages, I'll say, please stop. Okay? And then I'll cue James to bring up something on the screen. So let's listen to this. This is based on the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Give us our food for today, and forgive us our sins.
Okay, hold it there. So give us our food for today. If you can bring that up, our daily bread. So that's our provision. God provides us with everything we need. Note the difference, not everything we want. He knows what we need, and he provides us with that. That includes our food, our shelter, etc., etc., etc. So God is our provider. As a community, he is our provider. If you can continue on, please.
Just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us.
Okay, we bring the next one up, James. You can hold it there, please. So mutual forgiveness is another gospel element of a community. And we've been talking about that previously. Now, we had the reading today saying if someone's wronged you, all right, then Paul instructs the reader to go to that person and talk to them about it. First thing, okay? A lot of us, they balk at that. Now, it's interesting because most of us will come into one of two camps. You're either a porcupine or a rhino, okay? Rhinos want to go charge straight in and sort this thing out, all right? And some of us are porcupines. We like to curl up in a ball and just avoid everything, okay? Just be aware of which camp you tend to come into. So it is important that we actually speak to those who we have a real issue with. Now, beware, I spoke the other day about thinking the best of others, all right? Always, people you have disagreements with, try and think the best of them. I try, well, they're bad, because they don't agree with me. All right, that's a temptation. They don't agree with me, therefore they must be bad. All right, really simplistic and a bit stupid, to be honest. We're much more complex than that. So try and think of the best of other people and their motivations. Don't try and second guess them. All right? If there is still an issue, also don't work things up in your own mind. Sometimes people, they imagine stuff that's there that's someone's totally unaware of. Or maybe they've even imagined it. So it's good to go to someone and actually clear things up. Now, it's interesting. My mum phoned me up on a really bad day at work, and I thought, I'll be able to phone her back. So I phoned her back, and she had this news. She had great news. She'd sold the house. She's 80 years old. She'd sold the house, and she bought 7 acres of land at 80. Now, there's other complications with that, but you can imagine I was not really in the place. So Mum ended up getting defensive, and I said, Mum, it's not a good time to call me, please. And we ended up, I hung up, and it wasn't great. So, look, if you argue with your mum, man, it just sort of bugs you. It should bug you. So I arranged a meeting with Mum and my sister yesterday, and we got together, and look, I apologized to my mum. And she was fantastic. And we had this big discussion about wills, and you've probably got this stage in your life, but wills and trusts and probates and all this sort of stuff. So it was a really good conversation. She's also got this partner she's had for 10 years. which is he's only about 5 years older than me. So that's the other challenge with that. But we're able to talk about these things and be really open. And my sister doesn't like, she's more of a... So by actually going to her and talking about these things, things become much easier. So mutual forgiveness and mutual love requires us to actually keep short accounts. Now, the other side of that, in Matthew's, I think it's Matthew's gospel, it says, if you have, you go to the temple to worship, and you know your brother or sister has something against you, do you remember this? Put down your offering and go and see them. So if the boot's on the other foot, you know someone's got something against you, go and say, are you okay? Is everything okay between us? I've done this before. And if someone says, yeah, it's fine, okay, that's their responsibility to actually be honest. I've found that people aren't always honest. But if you do your part, that's all you're responsible for. Does that make sense? Yeah? So don't shy back from actually, because we don't want these things to fester, because that's what they do, is they fester. Now, if someone doesn't respond, most of the time, just leave it alone. Seriously. Just leave it alone. You don't have to escalate everything and make everything... with Ruth... sorry, Ruth. I think it's Proverbs. It said, don't let the sun go down on your own anger, but actually sort things out. We used to try and do that, but actually, when you're really tired at night and in bed, it's kind of like the last thing you want to do is sort out a hassle with your partner. So look, just leave it and let it sit. Yeah, let it sit for a day or so until you're actually feeling a bit better and a bit more onto it. And then most of the time, 99% of the time, the problem just disappears because you'd worked it up in your own mind. Does it make sense? That's true, darling, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. That's the right answer. All right, let's... Adrian, keep reading.
And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
If you can hold it there. We bring the next one up, James. Freedom from temptation. Now, it's interesting. I used to read this. I think I'm just starting to understand, actually, what this means. I used to read this, and one interpretation would say, and do not lead us into temptation. And the question I had was, how could God lead us into temptation? He's God. I know some of you are nodding because you had that same thing. Look, the thing is here, when we do actually start to have God provide for us and we start to live in a loving community, we change. So the things that used to bind us, and I'm thinking particularly of Nottingham situation, lots of people with addictions they were dealing with, all right? Look, you might not have addictions, but we have sins that we repeat over and over again that are problematic to us in our relationships. Yeah? So what happens is, because of this provision from a loving Father and this mutual love and forgiveness, we're freed from the temptation to indulge in sin, sinful thinking and sinful actions. Might be tempted, but there's a freedom from that temptation. Does that make sense? And then we go to the next one.
But deliver us from the evil one.
And we bring the next one up, James. And we are able to actually overcome evil. And that means we can actually serve in the community and overcome those things that we see are not of God's kingdom. Things of injustice and poverty, of mental health issues and so forth. Right, let's go to the next one, James. Thank you so much, Adrian. Okay. Well done. And if we go to the next one, are there two slides there? Oh, okay. We had it in the last service. Sorry. It'll be on here if you need it, on the stick. That's it. That's it? Okay. If we go to the second one, James. Now, with this model, there's, you know, we're not the same as Nottingham, but there's a lot of similarities. If you go to second slide, James, just click on the second slide. There's a lot of similarities with Koori Anglican with this model. So if we look at that, I think it's all up. Are we on the second slide? Yep, there we go. So provision, okay, provision of food. Okay, at the moment, we've got a relationship with the food bank. I don't know if you know that. So the Koori Food Bank, we have Shirley Black has been the treasurer there for many years. And she's retired from that. They've got a new treasurer, but they want us to be part of that. It's an ecumenical group, so it's all the churches in Koori. And they've got a role for us there in operations. So if anyone, because we're getting too busy here at church, if anyone feels a call to this, then please come and see me, okay? Please come and see me. But they provide food for those in Koori who are struggling. Now, I've got a story about that. Lockdown. Got a call after lockdown by a woman called Jackie Jago. I don't know if you know Jackie. She's very active in the community. Helped start Bellyful, which is food for young mums with babies. Anyway, she said, Ian, I've got 12 families who I'm feeding from my house during lockdown. And I'm preparing all the boxes for them, and they're sitting in my hallway, and I've provided throughout all the lockdown, and I just can't do it any longer. Can you help? So I put her in touch with the food bank, and after a meeting and a bit of toing and froing and understanding where these people were coming from, they put them onto the Koori Food Bank books. So there is food poverty here in Koori. There is poverty here. We don't often see it. There's poverty in different ways. We're very middle class, upper middle class suburb, and there's poverty in other ways where people are often lonely or disconnected. But we hide that very well. We can hide that stuff very well. But there's also very obvious material poverty as well. So just be aware of that. The other things we offer, childcare, early childhood education with the Early Childhood Centre. The counsellor is starting this week from Mind Health. So they're starting in the office, Wendy's old office, on Mondays and Tuesdays. Same organisation, Rich Black's organisation. So please start using them and referring people to them. The needs out there are huge for counselling. GPs will know that. There's a huge demand for counselling in New Zealand. It's a matter of developing a relationship with a counsellor and that you trust. But we thoroughly recommend Mind Health as counselling. Debt counselling is another one we're looking at. And we're thinking about the new build. Christians Against Poverty are very interested in our new build and possibly basing themselves there, but we need to explore what other debt counselling provision there is in Koori. All right, so that provision is for people's needs, physically, mental, are critical for us. Jesus, when he came to earth, he didn't just say, I'm God, worship me. Come on, guys, I'll do a few tricks. All right, he met people where their needs were. That's what a lot of his healings were about. Next one, James, thank you. So community, mutual forgiveness, befriending. Don't underestimate the power of making friends. And perhaps friends with those who are friendless. That's a huge source of poverty in modern Western society. Is we're so connected, but we're so lonely, eh? A lot of lonely people out there. Inviting people for participation in our community, that's really important. And we've done a lot of that in the past, but we'll continue to do more of that as well. Fish and Chip Night was one of those great things. We haven't got anyone to run that now, unfortunately, but that was hugely successful. Prayer, praying with people, for people, well-being. Also the house churches. Now, some of you, guys, we've got 101 people in house churches. Isn't that great? I'm so chuffed with that. So chuffed. Because that's the engine room of the church, really. And we've got the Lent studies coming up. You guys go and sign up for an open group and join one of those groups. So you can be with them for 6 weeks and see how it goes. Get to know those people. Because you won't get to know people by just coming on a Sunday and then going off and doing your thing, and coming with work and then coming back and saying, oh, I had a tough week for a couple of minutes having coffee and then off you go. It's much better if we engage with one another during the week and actually really get to know one another. That's where the rubber meets the road. So the importance of house churches for us. The next one, James. Empowerment, freedom from temptation, social enterprise. Look, inviting people into community and empowering them to be able to take hold of the things that they could not get hold of before. For instance, social enterprise with Early Childhood Centre and with SMASH, we do offer, and we will be offering more, grants for families who cannot afford to partake in those services. Also, the same with the counselling. Okay, we'll have grants available for those. So if we turn any profit from those businesses, including the new business at Te Kororia, that will go into providing for families who haven't got enough. Faith, Alpha, pre and post Alpha. We've got two amazing post Alpha groups who, one's continuing from, I think it was 2 years ago, I think. So that's sharing and empowering people with faith in the gospel. And the next one, the last one, giving. Overcoming evil, it's volunteering, it's part of our discipleship, and contributing and serving others. That's the outworking of a discipled follower of Jesus. So you see how that works? It's actually quite simple, isn't it? But it's quite profound. We did this in the last service, and the prayers, which are from the prayer book, just echoed this totally, this stuff. So it's quite amazing how that came about. So, I'll finish. If I can invite the band up, please. I'll finish by reading John 15, which leads us to our verse for the year. And then we'll sing together and worship. We'll worship the one who loves us, who we are beloved of. So Jesus said, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. That's the basis for it all. Therefore, remain in my love. When you obey me, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father and remain in his love, I've told you this so that your joy, you may be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. You are my friends if you obey me. I no longer call you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. Now you are my friends, since I told you everything that the Father has told me. And this is the verse. And this is a lovely line. You didn't choose me, I chose you. It's all God's work. It's a key verse there. You did not choose God, but God chose you. It's his work within you and through you and among us all. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. And lastly, I command you to love one another. So it's all interlinked, but it stems from the Father's love for the beloved. Let's stand. Let's worship that Father we're speaking of.